Hey, T-Bone.
Hey there.
Oh, shoot. I said T-Bone and you don't like that.
I don't like that.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
How's it going today?
It's okay. It's going.
It's going. Welcome to the Uprooted Podcast. That's Christine.
And that's John. Hey, so I was thinking about something.
Uh-oh. Did you hurt yourself?
A little bit. So, you know, California's on fire, like again or still. I'm not really sure exactly what.
Are they? I thought they put all those out.
Maybe they're out now. Okay. I don't even know. It seems like it's every day. There's something new. Yeah. Well, but this last one got really close to my family in Orange County. Mm-hmm. We were a little worried about it, worried about my dad working out there in the smoky conditions. But it got me thinking for our question this week. The house is on fire. You have three things to grab. What are they?
Oh, man. This is a trick question.
It's not a trick question.
Do you have to be one of them? Or are you grabbing things?
No. Well? The okay, people good. Are not things to grab.
Oh, well, I mean, okay. Just for legal reasons, I have to grab my guns.
Oh, you can't leave. I mean, what if? Okay.
I don't think they can stay here and get like burned up. I think that's irresponsible because if they don't burn up because they're metal, somebody could come steal them. I don't know.
Right. But would the government like really take your gun license because you had to get your family out of a house?
No, I don't. Okay. Let me think about it. I would grab my cell phone.
Okay.
My computer and my Shure SM7B microphone. And probably the equipment that goes along with it, because we couldn't do this show without it.
I see.
And we don't, I mean, family photo albums and things aren't really a thing anymore. Like, it's like all on my phone for the most part.
Okay.
What would you grab?
I would grab my phone. I would grab the dog.
She can run out on her own.
That's true. She could probably follow us. So forget the dog then. Then I would grab all of our family yearbooks that I've made because they're pretty compact and easy to grab. And I would grab our passports and our certificates.
Why? Those can be reproduced. You don't need those.
Well, I don't know. Just in case we need them. Maybe my wallet. I don't know. There's like, now that I'm sitting here, I'm thinking like, oh my God, you should really grab that. And oh Lord. So now I'm thinking maybe I should have like a box right by the bed of all the things that I just need to grab.
You know what's funny is we're Walking Dead fans, as we've said before. And in that show, during the apocalypse, she grabbed like all her photos and stuff. Like you're going to need something to do with those. I know in that moment of panic, you don't really know what's going on. So that's
luckily for me, all of our yearbooks and stuff are in Shutterfly in the cloud.
Yeah.
So if I had to reprint them, I guess I could. That's not a big deal.
True.
So that's true, I guess. And then, like you said, most of our pictures and stuff are on our cameras, on our phones, which are also in the cloud.
Yeah.
I've got Google Photos. Thank you, Google.
Thanks,
so I guess
Google.
All my stuff is there. So yeah, I guess there's other things I could grab.
Yeah. Well, how was your Halloween? How was your week? Did you do anything special? Are you doing anything special?
Well, I had lots of fun activities for my students, which was fun.
So much room for activities.
Yeah, we made pumpkin catapults, which was cool. They really enjoyed that.
Nice.
We watched a little bit of Pumpkin Chunkin'.
I think it's called like Pumpkin
No,
Chuckin'.
It's literally...
Not Chunkin'.
Pumpkin...
You said Chunkin'.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Chunkin'. What, no, I'm serious.
What would be chunking about it?
I don't know, but that's what's so interesting to me. I don't. Maybe it is pumpkin chuckin. I don't know.
What? How did we ever come up with that nickname for that poor person?
Because she was very chunky.
I get it, but why the pumpkin?
Didn't he call her that?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Pumpkin chunkin.
Pumpkin chunkin.
Chunkin.
Yeah.
Strange.
Pumpkin chunkin.
That just doesn't make sense why they would call it chunkin.
I know. I don't know why they would call it chunkin because it's more like chucking, but...
Yeah.
It's Pumpkin Chunkin. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So can I point out an observation that I saw from social media this week that was very funny to me?
Sure.
Amongst all the bull crap and all the other shit we're going through with elections and COVID and all that other stuff, something stood out to me that was quite funny is we have these community websites now. You know, we have our Middleton page and Middleton Community and Families or whatever and North Shore Online out here. And I'm sure they have them in California and elsewhere, right? Do they?
Yeah.
Did we have those back there?
Uh-huh.
Well, I always laugh when someone will post on there like looking for a romantic getaway with my hubby. Any suggestions? It makes me laugh because you're advertising to this group that, hey, I'm going away and I'm going to fuck my brains out this weekend. But I don't have the wherewithal to find a place on my own. So please help me find a place to engage in this very personal activity. I just think it's like a little too much information.
I guess.
I get what they're trying to do, but do you not have Google?
I see. I gotcha. I'm with you on that
get
one,
Get on Google
I guess.
Or Yelp and look up some shit and find a place that's good for husband and wife banging for the weekend.
Well, is that necessarily exactly what they said? Because, I mean, sometimes I want like a nice romantic restaurant or, oh gosh, I had a really nice time strolling on this particular trail or whatever it is. Maybe that's what they're looking for.
That's
maybe
fine.
You got to get your mind out of the gutter, mister.
It's not in the gutter. I'm just telling you, this is what people do. And when they say romantic getaway, they're not looking for a restaurant. They're looking for like a hotel or a B&B or whatever, you know?
I guess, but whenever we go on romantic getaways, we just sleep.
Well, that's because we never go on them, first of all.
Yeah, we never do, and we're so damn tired.
Yeah, but we have kids, so it doesn't happen.
Right.
All right, well, anything else? Should we just move this along here or what?
I guess so. Did you have anything? You want to talk about the trick-or-treating experience with the kidlets or what?
Yeah, so it wasn't bad. I mean, I think it was overplayed in the media about how it was going to be dangerous and all this stuff, like... Yes, there were less kids than years before, which I guess keeps things a little separated. But as I've said from the beginning of this thing, when I go to the beach or to the grocery store, I keep my distance from people anyway. Just because you're telling me to do it now doesn't make it any different. And the same thing with trick-or-treating. We weren't like nose-to-nose with people. I mean, sure, you go up to their door or whatever, and so there's that close interaction, but it's so short. It's like, what's the big deal?
There was very few doors the kids actually went up to. I felt really good, actually, about how the residents were taking it seriously. I really appreciated it. There was lots of tables, like, out on the driveway to just choose one candy.
Lots of bowls.
Lots of things they had, like, sealed in, you know, little sealed bags.
Yep.
They were, like, split up so kids weren't digging their whole hand in a big bowl. You know, so it was, I actually feel like they did a really nice job with it. The residents that did pass out the candy, a couple of them had those little candy chutes, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, it was. I felt very safe, I guess I should say.
Agreed. I felt safe. I think our kids were safe. I there wasn't a time when I was like, ooh, that's a little close or anything like that. Everybody had masks on.
What didn't feel safe to me was it was really cold. We had snow the night before and it was cold and I'm sitting there breathing and I can see my breath coming out through my mask. So I'm like, what good is this thing doing?
It's not coming out through the mask. It's coming up.
It felt like it was going through the mask because my mask was super wet with condensation. It just gave me a bad feeling that maybe these Old Navy cloth masks are not doing.
Well, they're not medical grade. They are doing they're doing enough. We're not close enough to people for it to not do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, and I guess it goes back to what that doctor guy I follow says, that it's reducing the amount of load that I'm spewing to the public.
Exactly.
And that can actually help for immunity, so they say. So I don't know. Maybe it does work. Who knows? I haven't gotten sick, knock on wood.
Knock on wood. We had a case at my school, a positive student. So the other fifth grade class had to go home, but not one other student tested positive, nor did the teacher. So I feel really good about it. What we're doing is working.
Yeah, the same thing happened with the kids' schools.
All the precautions we're taking are working.
Yeah.
I just feel really good about it. Like we're working hard and it's showing. And obviously the student got it from another place outside of the school since no one else at the school has tested positive.
Yeah.
So it's good. I'm proud. Proud of us.
Yeah, our kids' school seem to be doing well as well.
Well as well.
Yeah, because they've had a few cases come through the community and it's been, it's not spreading, I guess, throughout the school. They shut it down. They lock up that one kid and tell him not to come back to him or her not to come back to school. And all is well.
All is well.
You know what we just forgot? What are we drinking?
We didn't forget. We just didn't get to it.
What are we even doing here? We forgot how to do this show.
No, we didn't forget. We just didn't get to it yet.
Well, what are we drinking?
We are drinking a Dia de los Muertos mule in honor of Dia de los Muertos.
Which was yesterday.
Well.
I mean, I guess it's okay that we have it a day late, right?
I guess. But this is, remember, coming out on Thursday, so it was last week.
We just talked about doing a better job with that.
And we've got a new president, apparently. And
yeah, hey.
Same president? I don't know.
Any predictions? That's what we're doing right now. Predict who's going to win, and we'll see next week if we were right.
I think it's going to be another 2016. I think Biden's going to win popular, and Trump's going to win the electoral.
Okay, I gotcha.
That's what I think.
I just read a thing that said that if he doesn't win one of the key, like, traditionally Republican states, that he's goner. He has to win.
He's a goner.
Ohio, Florida, Texas, whatever those big ones are. So it's basically riding on those six states whether or not he wins. Crazy.
Cool.
I predict, I'm going with your prediction. I go with the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out. I've been teaching my kids about the Electoral College and everything, and they're all very interested in it. So I actually kind of hope it comes out that way just so they can see it in, you know, like in progress.
Yeah.
See how it goes, you know, because we've been talking about it.
I'm just grateful for it to be over. I can't wait.
I know. Can't wait for, well, depending upon the outcome, it will be very interesting next few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
All right. Well, should we get right into whatever's next? Muertos
Mule. Cheers.
Arriba.
Arriba. Fiesta.
Yoruba.
Burrito.
Burrito. Fiesta.
Enchilada.
Enchirito. Tostada. Nacho.
I don't know the word, so I sing burrito.
Yes, exactly. All right. Anything else we should get into? Oh, our good friends over at Hurry the Kids Are Asleep gave us a little shout out on their episode, so we should do the same.
I was just listening to it today, actually. It was really interesting. They had a pet psychic.
Yeah, we need,
which I kind of want to contact, because somebody needs to figure out what the heck is going on in that dog's head.
Yeah, like why every time we hit the record button she goes bananas with the toys, but all day just sleeps.
Well, I want to know why she's constantly yelling at us, because it's all the time that she yells at us.
Yeah, every time we call the kids to dinner, just constant yelling, barking,
yelling
crazy
so much.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So we should get that guest on. But I wanted to give them
we don't
return.
Need the same guest. I just thought it was really, we should send
true,
our
yes.
info to her.
True.
We don't want to, you know, be followers.
Right, right. Well, I wanted to give them what's the word I'm looking for?
Shout
I'm
out?
I'm having major brain fog over here.
Yeah, you really
are. Yes, return the favor, shout out.
Yeah.
Since they did absolutely. To us. If this husband and wife bullshit's not enough for you, listen to them. Because they're like, do almost the same thing.
Well, yeah.
More or less. I mean, husband and wife just talking shit about their kids and drinking.
Sure.
Awesome.
I feel like they have more fun than we do sometimes, but.
How dare you?
I don't know.
Wow.
Well, what?
That cut me deep.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, what's next? Should we jump right into the parenting purgatory area?
Sure. Section? Yeah. I think do we want to talk about, I don't think we need to talk about what we're watching or anything.
Nah.
Right?
We're kind of all over the place because we're recording like 12 podcasts and
not 12.
Never have time to watch what we used to watch. So, yeah. All right.
You decided to go rogue and do two others. This is true.
All right. So the parenting purgatory. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about in this one.
Oh, dear.
But since Halloween just started.
No, it's over.
Is over. Sorry. It's been a rough week. It's only Monday. Wow.
No, it's Thursday.
When they hear this, but everyone knows we record on Monday, and I'm trying to illustrate the point that it's been one rough effing week with these kids.
So you legit had a conversation with me not 2 days ago telling me we need to be better at making sure that we don't.
Yes, I know. I failed. Yeah. Let it go.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, Elsa.
Anyway, the candy situation.
Candy. Candy.
So much candy. They're upset that they didn't get 100 pieces each. I'm like, what the hell, guys? You really need 100 pieces? I mean, they don't need any pieces. Our kids are chubby.
Little tiny cherubs.
Yeah. They put the chub in cherub, as we've said, and they have way too much candy. But you and I have different ideals when it comes to how we parent with the candy.
Yeah. You think?
You say no candy, and my thought process is get it the fuck out of here. Eat all the candy today and then have it gone. Ugh. Done. No more candy. No more fighting. No more fighting over the candy. Done.
I feel like we should let this candy stretch out till next Halloween. Let them have little pieces here and there after dinner as a dessert or as a special treat. I'm kind of trying to get away from giving them food as reward because A, they're not dogs.
Yeah, I'm into that.
And B, I don't want them getting into the idea that food is a reward.
I am okay with that 100%.
So I don't really want to give them food for doing a good job like you did today. Yeah.
Well, they did a really good job. I mean, they were silent. They're never silent.
The give them a hug and a kiss and tell them how great they are.
No, that doesn't work. They were totally silent. They're never totally silent.
Give them a Robuck, whatever.
No, that costs real money.
Yeah, well, whatever.
This is candy we got from Poor Saps for free.
I know. Anyway.
Yeah.
I would rather give them little pieces at a time. They don't need a ton. They're fine.
I agree. I just want to get it out of here, though. The sooner we get it out of here, the better.
Well, then let's start eating it ourselves.
That's not good either. That's bad.
Why not?
I don't know. It's probably not good
for mom and dad
tax.
How many of you out there have mom and dad tax?
Oh, everybody has that. But I mean, we don't need to eat all of it. I mean, I thought I had a heart attack yesterday, so we don't need to eat all of it. That's insane.
No, I did not say all. I said, let's start eating it.
Okay. All right. Well, what are we going with tonight then?
I don't know.
And then one other thing, I saw a news story out of ABC 7 from Los Angeles, was talking about something going on during this pandemic where you're, what did they call it? Something about like trying to outdo or fit in based on what they see on social media.
With the kids?
Yeah, with their kids. So some people are being very careful and not doing anything with their kids, but then their kids or themselves see, you know, Jane down the street took their kid, in the article it said, took their kids to Irvine Park and played outside and did all the things that we hear are dangerous. And okay. So they're feeling like, am I doing the right thing by keeping them at home? And they're kind of getting envious and jealous of the people that are out doing things.
Mm.
And vice versa, the people that are out doing things are feeling a little like, I guess, guilty about taking their kids out.
So
it's having this weird psychological effect.
Just happened last week when it was Halloween.
Yeah. Yes. Last week. Not 2 days
I
ago.
Like posted our kids' costumes like I always do. I posted what a great night trick-or-treating we had. And there was all these other moms in my mom's group here in town saying, oh, we stayed in. And oh, we're doing a glow-in-the-dark trick-or-treat thing, which was cool, actually. And another mom saying, let's organize a trunk-or-treat for all the kids who didn't get to go. And I'm thinking, like, shit, should we not have brought our kids out? Like, I felt shamed.
You felt bad for, like, not doing it or for doing it?
I didn't feel bad, like, not at all, not one iota. But I felt, like, really, like, oh, shoot, should I have posted this? Like, I feel, like, shamed.
Well, so in reading the article, I feel like we shouldn't be worrying about this stuff. This is insane. Just because it's COVID time, it's just like any other time. Do you feel guilty about posting about your, you know, super expensive vacation, knowing that there's some people out there on social media that can't go on any vacations? I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Yeah.
Right?
Well, not really, though, because on your super expensive vacation, you're not, like, putting your children's lives in jeopardy according to other people.
Yeah, I gotcha. I feel like what we did was very safe. So anyone was judging us here in town, they can go screw.
There's that. And I feel like people need to know. We would never have done that if we didn't believe that we could keep them safe.
Right. I mean, I'm the biggest worrier over here.
Right.
I'm not going to
let
that happen.
We would have never done it had we not felt like it was okay. And we decided to drive around first to see, you know, kind of what it looked like. And we made that decision based on that. We walked around with them the entire time. You know, we were...
Yeah, it was totally no contact, absolutely safe. What I did see, which was a little disappointing, was some people having some parties with no masks and stuff over the gathering limit, but I can only assume it was family or people that know they're safe, I guess. But
yeah, there was quite a few people with like little bonfires and stuff.
Yeah, and it's outdoors, like they say, is allowed. But, you know, they're also telling us that any gathering gets you all sick, so it's crazy. Who knows? Whatever. We're going the wrong direction here in Massachusetts as of today, apparently. We're rolling it back.
It's all right. Are we the Walmart of the United States?
Yeah. Rolling back the COVID.
Rolling back the prices.
So do you have anything to add to the parenting? Should I stop giving the kids candy all day? It's all
yes,
I got.
You should.
It's the only leverage tool I have.
Do you know what else it does? It makes me the Wicked Witch and you Glenda the Good Witch.
It's the only leverage
I
have.
Seriously, our son, the other day, when Isabel asked for something and I said no, he goes, you're supposed to ask dad, like right away. And I'm like, that's bullshit.
No, it's not. I love that.
It is. It's not okay. You make me the bad guy.
It's seriously, I'm here all alone. I have to deal with the internet cutting in and out, all their bullshit. It's the only leverage I have. I only have it twice a year, three times a year, I guess. Christmas too, they get a lot of candy.
We have it all year. We have never had one candy bag empty in this whole entire house.
And therein lies the problem that I'm trying to say, let's burn through it. Then when it's gone, we don't get any more until the next candy holiday.
No.
All right. Well, I'll do
you
it your way.
Famous.
But you're leaving me in the trenches taking grenades once again, like you do with the stingy stripey things. It's not fair. You're setting me up for failure and I don't appreciate it.
Tears.
All right. You ready for the relationship?
My tiny violin for you.
Are you ready for the relationship room?
I guess.
Now, right?
Kind of feeling like we should shut the door on that room.
So I have a beef.
You have a beef?
With you, if you will.
Of course you do.
And it actually happens to do with beef. Steak.
With beef steak.
Not beef steak. That's something completely different. It has to do with steak.
What's
leftover steak from last weekend?
Lord.
we had an extra hunk of steak that I made for us. And I said, hey, babe, here's some steak for your lunch tomorrow. And at first, I think you said, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And then later on in the day, you said, oh, you're going to have the steak tomorrow. I said, no, that's for you. And you said, no, I want you to have it. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I think you should take it. And then I wake up this morning and I go to the fridge to make breakfast. And lo and behold, there is the beef.
There's the beef.
And I said to myself, what the fuck? Why is the beef still here? It should be with you at school so it can go into your gut.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying I have a
Why gut. Why did you leave the steak? That.
Because you deserve to have steak. For a few reasons. One, as you so eloquently put it, you are here in the trenches with our children having to deal with the internet cutting in and out and having to watch entire seasons of television shows.
Oh, I did that one time.
Having to sit on the couch and make sure it's warm all the time.
No.
It's just such a hard life.
I watched Cobra Kai start to finish. That's it. One show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one show. Mm-hmm. Half hour episodes, not a big deal. While I was watching coffee and
while you were watching coffee.
Drinking coffee and riding on the exercise bike a few times. So I was doing something productive and worthwhile while I was doing so.
That's all fine and dandy. However, I felt like you deserved to have the beef. Second of all, if I try to heat it up in the microwave at school, it's going to be no good. And I have a plastic knife and a plastic fork to eat it with. It's so just not.
You should have said that from the beginning, because here's my stance on it. Okay. You're the one going out risking your life in the trenches of COVID, making money for us while I sit at home and watch Cobra Kai on loop and do nothing else but edit your podcasts and take care of the kids and fix the internet. And I have a list, but I won't get into it now for the sake of time. But I also have an entire refrigerator. I have the skill and know-how to make a meal from anything in there. And you have nothing. You can't even leave to go out to eat if you wanted to. The best you could do is maybe a Grubhub or something.
No, I can't even do that because I can't go downstairs to get it.
So there you go. You have literally nothing. So why wouldn't you take something good like that? You just explained. And if you would say that instead of this, oh, I want you to have the beef. Then I'd be like, okay, you're right. It does taste like shit in the microwave.
But I did want you to have the beef, so it doesn't really matter. You always complain about how I just have a yogurt.
So why? Well, I could stand to just have a yogurt. I mean, I'm large and in charge over here. But why I wanted to bring this up.
Wait.
Yes.
You are not in charge.
How dare you? I think it's worth pointing out, since you've been really shaming me and being very nasty.
Oh, stop it.
Very mean, fake news. Very nasty, huge, bigly. I think it's fair to point out that my peddly little unemployment I've been collecting is still more than you make.
This is true.
So this if is everyone very could true. See that, I just did the suck it maneuver across the room to you. That's what you can do is suck it, because I still make like $400 a month or a year more than you.
A year.
On the unemployment. So yes, I rule. So I am in charge, so you can go screw.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I wanted to bring this up in the room because I think this is, some people might think this is a good problem to have in a marriage where the two youths want to so badly to please each other. That's a good thing, right?
Not in our case.
I don't think it's a good thing in anyone's case, as I've done further research on this topic. Sometimes you just need to move the fuck on and be like, no, I'll take the steak. Go screw, I deserve the steak, figure it out in the fridge, or vice versa. I don't want the steak because it gets rubbery and be done with it. But we try to do this thing, whether it's going out to eat or which position to get into or what to watch on TV. Everything is, whatever you want. No, whatever you want.
Well, then why don't you explain? Why don't you ever just say, I want to do this?
Well, I thought about this actually, so I'm glad you asked me. Great segue. It's almost like we planned this.
Almost
like we did show prep, which we didn't.
We did not.
I think it's because from a previous marriage and maybe in my life with my parents, I don't know, I was accused of like not meeting the needs or doing that. Does that make sense?
I guess, but no.
Like for my previous marriage, for example, I was always accused of, since I worked at night and she worked during the day, how come you don't do anything during the day? The house is a mess. You don't do this. So now I like want to make sure I'm doing everything for you to make sure it's like a mechanism I have in my brain to make sure you're happy and don't want to run out on me. So if that means having the leftover beef, then you can have the leftover beef. I'll figure it out. Yay, I'm independent. I can do it. I think that's where it's coming from in my brain.
Okay, but you know full well that I was raised in a different tradition.
I do.
Different culture.
I know.
Where I feel better and more taken care of when I am making you happy and doing the things that I need to do to make our household run.
So how does that make you feel more taken care of to do things for me?
Well, because if I'm doing things for you and I'm taking care of the household, then you take care of me. You see how it goes?
Not really, but I guess, yeah.
Just like we said, happy spouse, happy house.
Yes. Right? So you think that if you leave the beef for me, and when we're serving the beef fresh, you put it on my plate and bring it to me.
Right.
That I will take care of you how? Like I'll be more willing to go make the $400 more a year on unemployment or,
yeah.
or in the bedroom or what do you mean?
Yeah. All of the above. Okay. All of those things.
Okay. I smell what you're putting down.
Wow, my wife really cares about me. She brings my meal to me. I always get the hottest meal and the most on my plate and whatever it is. And my house is clean and my kids are... My kids.
Yeah, a little work. We could use a little work on that department.
Yeah.
And it's not your fault, though.
All that other stuff that you might be more inclined to come home and be happy and, oh, I found some flowers for you, or, oh, I'm going to make that wood thing you wanted, whatever it is.
Okay. I smell what you're putting down here. This makes a lot of sense. I'm glad we talked this out.
Yeah.
And so I think it's fair to mention to the audience, too, that you want in a man or me to say, like, if you come to me and say, hey, babe, we're going out to eat. Where do you want to go? You want me to say, we're going to Texas Roadhouse.
No, not necessarily. I don't necessarily want that.
Because I have a hard time doing that.
I would appreciate it if you were like, you know what? I really don't feel like hamburgers. I'm thinking I'd like Chinese or pizza. So either one of those two.
Maybe that's the problem. I'm such a big fat ass that I like all of those things. So I can't ever pick. That's why I came up with the famous Chinese burger pizza.
Right. But what always ends up happening is you end up going, why can't you ever make a decision? And then you make me make the decision every single time.
Because I just want you to be happy.
Okay, but I am.
You're a pickier eater than me, so I want to make sure that it all jives with you.
I would be so happy if you just said, I really feel like pizza. Let's go for pizza. And if I say, oh God, I really don't feel like pizza, what else do you feel like? And you said, how about Chinese? I'm like, yes. Okay,
all right, I gotcha.
That sounds good.
I like
that. That's what would make me happy.
Done and done. I think I can do that.
I don't care. Whatever you want. That makes me so not happy.
I think I can do that.
All right.
All right. Deal.
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 Air shake.
The wrong hand. Yeah. All right. Well, do you have any other relationship room news? The relationship room's kind of out of commission because our kids broke our door.
The kids broke the door.
So not only can we not lock it, we can't even shut it at the moment because if we do, we can't get out.
Oh, shoot.
It's a great story. That's a bummer. Today, I'm on a job interview in the room and I have to leave abruptly because Zoom wasn't working and I can't get out of the fucking room.
You get out of the room.
I'm sitting there just jacking on the door handle, all this noise. I finally have the wherewithal to mute. Literally like 5 minutes goes by and I had to tell the poor guy when I get downstairs, I'm like, hey, bud, my house isn't that big. Because I told him previously I'm moving to another room. And I'm like, my house isn't that big. There was a technical difficulty. It's like, I felt so stupid.
I would too.
I can't believe
it. I feel really flustered.
I'm probably not going to get the job, but what are you going to do? All right. Should we move it on then?
I think so. I think we should.
What is in your news story?
Why do you keep...
It kind of becomes like a funny thing. I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, I think so.
What's in your wallet?
That's the beauty of doing this. You never know if people are laughing out there, if they hate us because they don't leave a rating and review. They don't interact on social media. We have no idea.
And you know what? I'm talking to you right now.
All of you know
who you are.
Yeah.
You didn't leave a review. Do it.
Do it. Even if it sucks, do it because I want to know if it sucks. Then we can fix it.
Yeah.
All right. This is a good one. Are you ready, everyone? Florida man strikes again.
Florida man, he's my favorite.
I'll just read the headline here before I get into it. Florida man mauled by black leopard. That's not a band. After paying for full contact experience at backyard zoo.
So it's not
like
a Black Sabbath, Def Leppard, cross?
Nice. Everybody, if you're looking for a wife out there, make sure she knows those two bands and then can put them together like that on the fly.
Yeah, it's because I'm awesome.
Hot. Wish that door wasn't broken. A Florida man in Davie, Florida, was severely mauled by a black leopard after paying $150 for a full contact experience at a backyard zoo, said wildlife officials. Our friends from Ragchew in Florida will probably love this. They deal with this shit every day. They just see these people in the grocery store. We read about it as something funny, like Florida man.
It's funny.
But they're just around like, hey, there's that guy who got mauled by the leopard.
So I have a question, though. Did he not pay for this? Did he not pay for full contact?
Well, see, I don't know what that means. Does that mean you get to pet them or roll around with them playfully? And you're not expecting to get what I'm about to read here.
I mean, I don't know. Is that what the contract said? Did they have a contract?
I don't know. We'll get into that. His name was Dwight Turner. Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission officers said the leopard brutally attacked Turner as soon as he entered its enclosure. So I don't know if the cat just didn't like the way he looked or had a bad feeling about him. Yeah, I don't know.
Wanted to show him what's for.
Here's where it gets really gruesome, everybody.
Oh, Lord.
Full disclosure, this is disturbing. Fast forward past.
Skip ahead like 30 seconds.
This part, Turner's scalp was hanging from his head.
Oh.
And his right ear was torn in half.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. So I guess the lesson here is, I mean, like you said, he was paying for it, but I don't know if he was expecting this or just to
I'm
go
sure
in there
he
and
did.
Pet it or hug it.
I don't think you're going to pay $150 to get your scalp and your ear ripped
off. Yeah, there's nothing in here about contracts. It says Michael Podgy, 50, is licensed to have the leopard. He runs an animal sanctuary for rare and endangered animals. We saw how that turned out in Tiger King. Podgy was charged with allowing full contact with an extremely dangerous animal. He was also cited for maintaining captive wildlife in an unsafe condition. So I guess that's not allowed. But he made $150 off this poor dude. I wonder if this guy's going to
sue him. I'm sure he asked for his money back.
As his scalp
at the
hanging.
At the very
hey, bro,
least.
Can I get my money back?
He should have had a refund for poor Dwighty boy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean,
come on.
But I've come to the determination after reading these stories from Florida. I can't believe people want to go live there in retirement.
Well, I'm sure there's...
It sounds like an epic mess.
But I feel like there's parts of it that are probably quite sophisticated.
I guess. I don't know. Where? Tampa?
I don't know.
Miami Beach?
I've only ever been to Miami and Orlando, and that's it.
Well, we went to Tampa for like 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes.
On accident.
In the dark.
Yeah. And then we drove across the state there. But yeah, what's your story?
Oh, my story is fun. So,
more fun than a scalp hanging from your head?
Oh, yes. Much more fun. Girl 8 pulls a 1,500-year-old sword from a lake in Sweden.
Ooh, that
our 8-year-old doesn't do shit like this. It's not fair. So an 8-year-old found a pre-Viking era sword while swimming in a lake in Sweden during the summer. Her name is Saga Venesic, which I'm sure I butchered completely, but that's what it looks like to me, and so that's what I said.
I think it's pronounced Saga Venesic.
How do you know?
I don't. I'm just guessing.
Oh. Found the relic in the Wiedestern Lake. I'm assuming that they're sort of German. while at her family's holiday in Jönköping County. Wow.
I got it right now. So. The image for this headliner clip we're doing is going to be the Swedish chef with you talking in the background.
Yes.
About all these.
It's the road of eight. Bork.
Yes.
Anyway. So she found the relic in the Wiedestern Lake while she was swimming. So they had a drought recently.
Okay.
So the lake was really low. So she was able to go super far out into the lake. And she's swimming along and she feels something on her foot. So like an idiot, reaches down to find out what it was. Because for me, I'd be screaming and running out of the lake
at
this point in time.
Yeah.
So she decides to reach down. She feels what is a handle and she begins to pull. She calls her dad over. Dad, who is named Andy.
Hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe Andy?
Andy Schmergenfergen.
Andy Schmergenfergen.
I'm sure there's more to it. It can't just be Andy.
It is. It says Andy. Andy Vanisek. Vanacek.
Vanisek.
Whatever.
Schmergen.
Andy. We're going to call him Andy.
Andy.
He originally thought it was just like a weird shaped branch or some sort of stick, but when he and his daughter pulled it out, they saw that it was a sword. So they took it to their local museum where Mikael Nordstrom said that it's not every day that you step on a sword in the lake, which I thought was quite profound.
No, it's not.
They originally thought that it was a 1,000-year-old sword, ended up being 1,500 years old because of Saga's
yes.
whatever discovery, they excavated the lake even more and found a brooch.
What's a brooch?
Like a pin, a brooch, brooch, oh, brooch, 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 brooch.
So I've heard that's it. We got to do an episode on that, whether it's brooch or brooch.
Well, this is spelled brooch. So
I've heard
I'm
it spelled and I've seen it and brooch. Heard it pronounced both ways.
Yes.
And I'd like to know.
I would also. Anyway, so they were able to find that as well. And they're going to continue excavating the lake because of this young girl's discovery. And I feel like perhaps she should be our next king because...
Okay.
That's how it goes. You pull the sword out of the thing and you get to be the king.
I like it.
Right?
Sounds great.
And maybe Merlin will come and
make everything better.
Round tables and all the things that I didn't pay attention to.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I have one more story I'm not going to read or anything, but a new study has come out that said for all you Diet Coke drinkers out there and weirdos that think you're doing something better, it's worse for your heart than all the sugar in the sugary beverage. So first of all, I mean, you shouldn't drink soda at all. It's probably the worst thing you can put in your body. But these people think they're doing a good thing by having diet soda and it's going to make your heart explode.
So bad.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't drink the diet soda. Drink booze instead like we do.
Like we do.
Like we do. All right. So our movie, The Real Review.
Our movie. I don't remember what we watched. Oh, yes, I do.
The Angriest Man in Brooklyn.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't even know what to think about this.
I'm not sure either.
Like you and exactly I both say. Lost interest rather quickly. I see the phones come out.
You had yours out like immediately.
Well, you because
give it a second.
Well, hold on. I have a method to my madness. You don't know what I was doing over here. I wasn't tweeting or looking at the Facebook.
You weren't live tweeting or viewing?
No, not at all. I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes and reading the reviews for this show. Mm-hmm. I was looking at IMDb to look at the actors and see if this was Robin Williams' last movie or not. Because if it was, I would feel bad because it blew.
What was his last movie? I don't remember.
It was called Boulevard, I think I looked up. Oh, so God. He died in 2014 when this came out. But of course, you don't film a movie days before it comes out. You film it years before it comes out. So he had filmed all these movies that released in 2014, maybe even some in 2015, I believe. But he passed away in 2014. And for me, just right out of the gate, this is going to get real dark in a minute here. I didn't like it at all because it was not what I know Robin Williams to be.
Yeah.
He's saying every bad word in the book, constantly saying F all the time.
Yeah, like too much, actually.
And he's super angry. And I remember him being silly as the genie or as Mrs. Doubtfire and all these things that are funny. And I know he did some serious roles like Good Will Hunting and Dead Poets Society and all that, but he still had funny moments within those that were genuine to who his character is. And in this movie, it just looked, he looked uncomfortable doing it. And knowing that he died that year, and I don't know anything about the other movies I saw that came out, but something triggered in my brain that said, I wonder if he killed himself because like the career's going downward. I just made these super angry movies like this one. That can mess with your mind when you already have mental illness, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, it was just kind of a downer to watch because it wasn't good. And then I start doing all that, putting all those pieces together with my brain, and I was just kind of bummed.
Yeah, so I felt sad because I missed him and his acting style. And so watching it, like, it was the same way. Like, so I've seen him in three things that were dark and not funny at all. Like, they weren't supposed to be funny. It wasn't like, you know, Jim Carrey trying to be funny but not funny. Wasn't like that at all. It was like legitimately supposed to be dark. One of them, he was like some crazy stalker.
Yeah. What was that? The picture one?
Yeah. One hour photo.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there was another one. He was on an episode of Law and Order SVU. Actually, I think it ended up being two episodes.
Oh yeah. I think I watched that one with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. He was on an episode of that. Yeah. And he was.
He was the bad guy, right?
Yeah. He's the bad guy. I think he kidnapped someone. He was mentally not there.
Yeah.
And then the other one's called The Night Listener. And it was about, I don't even know. It was weird. He was a radio show host, I believe, or something. And some sort of crime was being committed. I don't know. So anyway, so those were three things that I watched with him where he was, it was dramatic. He was not supposed to be funny at all. Like in Good Will Hunting, he has his moments where he's funny.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Or
yeah,
like Dead Poets Society, he has his moments where he's funny. Is it Dead Poets Society?
Yeah, yeah.
He has the moments where he's funny.
Yeah.
There was not one moment where he was funny.
Right.
And I feel like he did a phenomenal job.
Was he in that White Noise movie? Or am I thinking of something else?
Yeah, you're thinking of something else.
All right.
But I feel like, I'm sure if you look up 1 hour photo, I'm sure the reviews are terrible. I'm sure they ripped him to shreds. But I feel like he did a really good job. He was super creepy.
Yeah,
like, he did a really good job, I feel like, in that movie. But like we've always talked about, if that's not their genre, if that's not their little niche, they're always going to get poor reviews on it. But this one, it just wasn't him. I didn't even feel like he was acting. Like, it just, I don't know. It was too, you know how much I hate Ben Stiller movies. It was too Ben Stiller-y.
Yeah.
Too many, like, everything went wrong for every single thing he did was
right. Mila Kunis wasn't funny or hot like she usually, none of it. It just didn't, nothing worked out.
Yeah. It just didn't.
It was so weird.
The end was finally okay. I'm not going to tell you what happens in the end. The end kind of ended okay and I felt good about the ending, but I don't know. I just...
Yeah, it started to get a little endearing toward the end, but the beginning was rough, man. It's rough to watch him like that.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, I hope he was acting because it was out of character. But if he wasn't, that really, like, that's all you need to know about why this guy killed himself. He was
going through a rough time.
Yeah, he was really mean.
I think that's what it was. Even in, like, the only thing I can keep thinking it was One Hour Photo or even the SVU episode, he was still endearing. Like, you kind of were like, oh, like, you felt kind of bad for him, even though he was doing these terrible things. He was still, like, endearing and sweet. Whereas in this one, he was just mean.
Yeah, and, like, even, this is like a terrible comparison, but even in Mrs. Doubtfire, heavy subject with divorce and everything like that, he still has these endearing qualities where he's sweet, and it's a little bit sad missing the kids and all that stuff. Him. Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll be happy to know that 1 hour Photo is certified fresh at 82%.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I feel good about
that. Critics actually gave it less, quite a bit less at 65. Hmm. So still fresh on both accounts, but the critics did what you'd like them to do.
Yeah.
So this one got 9% from the critics, and I get it. I mean, with critics nowadays, you're not going to get any points for being some superstar that's done great movies. If you put out a turd, you're going to get graded for a turd.
Well, and I feel like it was a little far-fetched to say that someone has 90 minutes to live.
Well, again, not giving too much away, but the how that whole 90 minutes came about, no one in their right mind would accept that as an answer.
Yeah.
Google and science out there that would tell you, like, okay, I can go look this up and know that a brain aneurysm is not going to kill me in 90 minutes. I'd either be dead already or I can go in for surgery or something. Like,
right. Well, and then I feel like the things that were happening, the particular things he was trying to get accomplished, there's no way he could have done all of that in 90 minutes.
Not in New York. No way.
Absolutely not.
It would take you 90 minutes to get from downtown to Brooklyn.
I know. So I just feel like it was just too far. Like, could they have given him
3 days?
Yeah.
Or 72 hours. Let's call it a day.
Yeah. I mean, could they have given him 24 hours even and kind of sped up the film progression? I don't know. But it just seemed really far-fetched. There was a part with James Earl Jones, who was I guess I just have a really hard time with people being mean to elderly. I think that really bothers me.
Yeah.
And so James Earl Jones was an elderly man who couldn't get his words out. And I've seen that in people before. So I think it kind of like hit me the wrong way a little bit. And Robin Williams is like just being so mean to him and he's making fun of him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just.
I are very sensitive to people just being mean in general because of our son and all those things. So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. The whole thing was just. He was really mean to that cab driver and, you know, attacking him from being from a different country.
Go back to his country. Like, just
right now was poor timing to watch that movie because everyone's so mean and shitty to each other.
I think you're right.
Every time you open up Facebook, someone's being shitty to someone else. And so to see this movie right now is just like, oh, just another thing.
Yeah. I think I was hoping for a lighthearted fun, you know,
what you come to expect from him.
Yeah.
And so when that didn't happen, it was just a bummer right away. And so that's why the phones came out. We kind of half paid attention to it, but that's good for all of you because we're not going to give anything away.
Well, I actually paid attention to it, but...
No, I did too. Yeah. But I mean, we have this way to half pay attention nowadays, kind of through everything in life, thanks to smartphones. We kind of just, oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, whatever. Yeah.
No one's really paying attention or doing anything anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
Well, anyway, I would not recommend it.
No, I wouldn't either.
I'd stick with the 9, I guess.
I don't even know how it got 9, to be honest with you. I mean, there was nothing. That means 9% of the reviewers had to have given it a fresh rating. So I don't know if they're just being nice to him or what.
I don't know.
That, I mean, that's what that means. Otherwise, it would have had a zero. If everyone gave it a rotten, it'd be zero. So, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't fresh to me, though. I give it a 9, just like they did.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, next week, we're going to watch Holidate.
Holidate.
Which is on Netflix.
This is your decision, my friend.
Yeah, well, we've seen, every time we go onto Netflix, we see it. And the other night, you proclaimed, oh, we got to watch that.
Well, I think sarcastically.
And so we needed a movie right away because we always fail to get this ready for you all before we record. So I pulled up Rotten Tomatoes and I said, you know what? Let's watch Holidate because it keeps teasing us. And we kind of like these kitschy movies sometimes. It's 45 with the critics, as to be expected.
Okay.
And 52 with the audience.
All right. Let me see. What's the picture look like? I don't remember. Is it anyone we know?
Stall while I figure this out. So I look it up on Rotten Tomatoes and they don't have good pictures.
Okay. Do you want me to pull it up on the...
Like they have screenshots, not like a movie poster. And we like to use a movie poster. So if you wouldn't mind. Yes. But it does have in it Emma Roberts.
Oh, I like Emma Roberts.
Luke Bracey.
I don't know who that is.
Jake Manley.
Oh, Jake Manley.
Yeah.
That sounds like the hot football player at high school.
Jessica Jake Manley. Capshaw.
Oh, wait, I think I know that name.
King Bach.
King Bach.
I think he's a rapper.
That sounds like a Japanese...
a dish?
No. A snack, like we just...
Oh, gotcha, yeah. And Kristen Chenoweth, I think she's a...
Oh, I like her.
Yeah, she's an SNL person, yeah.
I don't know if she's SNL. She's in a lot of stuff. Oh, there it is right there, right in the... Oh, my gosh. It was
See,
the first...
that's what I'm saying. Either the TV's listening to us or they're trying to make us watch this. Anyway, here's the first review. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The best thing that Holidate has going for it is that Roberts and Bracey do have great chemistry, but they just don't have a story or a script that can do it justice. So maybe this won't be so bad if you're not a critic. I don't know.
It looks cute. I think it looks fun. I like her. I like Emma Roberts. I've enjoyed the things that she's been in.
Yeah, this review is very telling. You'll find better deals on the sales shelf at the Christmas store on December 26th.
Better deals.
I'm guessing it's a Christmas movie then based on that. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's Holidate.
Well, there's a lot of holidays that you can go on a date.
Well, it looks like this says New Year. So maybe they're going from like Thanksgiving to New Year together dating. I don't know. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
There's maybe more than one holiday out there. It's not just about Christmas.
All the holidays.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. The holidays. Okay, I got you. Yeah. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's what we're going to watch. And we'll see if it's a turd or it's not. I don't know.
Wow.
All right. Profound,
turd
right?
Or not.
That's broadcasting right there, man. That was a profound statement I just came up with.
That was really
right
good.
Off the top of my head.
I see shirts and bumper stickers.
It's a turd or it's not.
Or a hat.
John joins.
Perhaps with really terrible embroidery.
Yeah. That will be my presidential campaign someday.
Speaking of presidential campaigns.
Yeah.
There's a go check us out on the social media and tell us what your presidential campaign slogan is going to be. Ours is get the fuck to bed.
Yeah, or just fuck if it was me. Fuck. In all caps, because I was like,
yeah.
Right then, I was upset about the broken doorknob, and I was like, fuck.
Let's read. We've got quite a few of them. Let's see what the...
quickly, go for it.
Let's see what the social media friends have to say that their campaign slogan is. We have... I don't know if I want to read the last names. I'll just read the slogan.
Blank.
One of them says, we aren't putting the fucking tree up. I like that one.
I gotta know who that is.
I want a burrito too.
I gotta know who that is.
I'm voting for that person.
I want a burrito too. Yeah. I liked Here's Your Water, Babe. That's nice.
This one just says, oh shit.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that too.
Sums up everybody's attitude.
Yep, Here's Your Water, Babe.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like a president I want to vote for because he clearly cares about his wife. Like he would care for the people.
He's got a little daughter at home. It could have been for her. Don't even think
Fine.
This is about
cares
husband
for
and
his
wife.
Family.
I like the one we're not putting the fucking tree up. You got to tell me later who that is. That's great.
That's a good one.
I think I have some ideas.
I don't want to vote for that person though, because I want my tree up.
No, it's way too early. Thanksgiving's an important holiday. Mm-mm. You know what? As it gets closer to Thanksgiving, we're going to get into that. Mm-mm. It's my favorite holiday. It's very important, especially where we live now. Hello. It's just like, this is what we were made for out here. Thanksgiving and Halloween.
I was whistling a Christmas tune today while I was in the classroom putting some things away. And one of my students said, don't sing Christmas. It's not even Thanksgiving.
See?
And I said to him,
I love that kid.
Give me a Thanksgiving carol and I will sing that.
I think I have to come up with one now.
There's no Thanksgiving
I might
songs.
Just write one.
Because guess what? It's the holiday that everyone forgot.
No.
There's Halloween songs. Where's the Thanksgiving song?
There's not. Well, yeah, there is Halloween songs.
You don't
songs,
write
I
a
guess,
song
about a
holiday you care
mashed
about.
Potatoes.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There's no Valentine's Day songs.
They're all love songs, babe.
Oh, so every love song has to do with Valentine's Day?
Well, yeah.
No.
It's the holiday of love.
No. Love yeah. Potion number 9 and all that other bullshit has nothing. If so, for some reason, that one's a Halloween song.
Yeah, because it's about potions.
Okay.
I mean, duh. So
are there really no songs out there that mention turkey and stuffing?
I don't think
there's
so.
There's got to be something.
None that are good.
Okay. I'm going to have to come up with one or write one or think of one or find one.
Okay.
Because I think it's an important holiday. It's the most important holiday.
No, how is it the
if
most
we
important
didn't
holiday?
Break bread with
how
the,
is the birth
the
of our
Americans?
Savior not more important?
That's
than
only if you believe
a
in
dead
that
turkey
mumbo
on
jumbo.
A plate.
If we had not broken bread with the Native Americans way back then, whenever it was, we would not be suffering through this pandemic today as a country.
Oh, lucky us.
Super important stuff.
So important.
So, I mean,
let
I
us
beg
all
to differ.
Celebrate.
I think it's important.
Dead turkey carcass in the middle of our table. Yeah.
Good. That really
Instead
makes it sound appetizing.
And goodwill toward men.
Well, thanks to our good friend COVID and all and the women. Governors and this great land we live in, thanks to the first Thanksgiving, we will not be having dead bird with groups more than 10 this year. Not yes. allowed. No singing, no dancing, no eating turkey and stuffing with people more than 10. Not happening.
Well, good thing we don't have any friends or family.
Exactly. We can just enjoy all the turkey to ourselves, which we
all
will indulge.
The turkey. We will.
In 3 short weeks. I can't wait.
Really? 3 weeks? Jesus
Christ. I know, right? The day's just flying.
I gotta get Christmas shopping.
Year. Thank God the year's flying. All right. Well, that's it. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Good times.
Good times.
Do you feel like this was our best effort tonight?
What are we grading ourselves now at the end of all of
well,
these?
Well, no one else will give us a goddamn rating, so we should rate each other.
Oh, okay.
What do you give it? 3.5? 4 stars? 5 stars?
I don't know.
1 star?
Okay.
Anyway, that's our call to action, everybody. Sometimes we tell you to follow the page. Sometimes we tell you to write to us. This week, I learned this today on some stupid podcasting thing. 1 call to action. Rate and review. Don't just rate
that
either.
That was
I mean,
2.
The stars, well, they kind of go together. It's one thing.
Okay. Just keeping
if
you honest.
If you're going to take the time to go to iTunes and click the thing, just say a few words like, those people are great or those people suck. This is the worst podcast ever. You don't have to write a paragraph. Just make it short and sweet. Preferably say those guys are great so it gets to the top of the charts. That's your call to action this week. Please go to iTunes or somewhere and rate us. That's it.
Do it.
Do it. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for coming back. If you're new, thanks for being here. Thanks for joining.
Yeah.
We hope you don't run
and
fast.
Then now go back and listen to all the others because you're late.
Subscribe so you never miss an episode again. That's another call to action. I screwed up.
You did.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. What did we learn?
Oh, man. I wasn't keeping track of what we learned.
You didn't take any notes.
You know what we learned? Thanksgiving sucks. That's what we learned.
And you know what else we learned? If your wife wants you to have the steak, eat
take
the steak.
Take the damn steak. And
I did.
Tell her
I put
where
that
you're
steak
going.
In my mouth.
Mm. Tell her where you're going to dinner.
Yeah.
Wear the pants. Wear those damn pants.
Yeah. And when she wants you to take them off, you take them off.
You take them off.
You take them off and you do the sex. You do it.
But not yet because your door doesn't work.
Yes. Or if somebody could just be quiet, then we could have the door open.
No. Another someone would never allow that to happen.
Oh, yes, I would.
Oh, no.
You know, we have this big house. We could just do it downstairs.
Didn't we just say goodbye?
We have other doors that lock down here, like this bathroom and whatever. We
no,
could get
doesn't.
Creative.
It's broken, too.
We have a whole basement that the kids are afraid to
Ew.
Go in.
That's covered in sawdust and mice and rats. Gross. Anyway.
Sometimes you got to do what you got
to
do.
Moving
right,
on.
Wear
Don't
your mask.
Pay $150 to get your scalp pulled off.
No. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. If you feel a weird thing in a lake, definitely pull on it. Because it could totally be a 1,500-year-old sword.
Or it could be the dude next to you's dork. I mean, I don't know.
It's possible. The kids
maybe don't
get one piece of candy
unless they do something great. And cheers.
Cheers.